Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to SAS First Half 2025 Earnings Conference Call. I'm C.W. Lee, SAS Vice President and Spokesman. We also have Doris Hsu, Chairperson and CEO, and Leah Peng, of GWC Spokesperson, in this call. First of all, Doris will give us the executive comments, and then I will make a brief presentation of group structure and the first half 2025 financial performance. I will address the FAQ we recently received, and Doris will answer the questions raised in the open Q&A session. To ensure a smooth and interactive session, we have established two methods for you to pose questions during the event, using the Slido feature for written questions and utilizing the WebEx hand-raising function for live spoken inquiries. To make today's meeting go smoothly, one person is limited to two questions, please. For today's presentation file, we have uploaded onto our website. If you do not have the file on hand, please access our website for the most updated file. Please note that some information during our discussion today will consist of forward-looking statements, which are applied throughout the call and this presentation. These are subject to significant risks and uncertainties. Actual results or trends would differ materially from our forecast. Please refer to the safe harbor notice in our presentation page 2 disclaimer. Now I would like to turn the call over to Doris for executive comments. Doris, please.
Thank you, CW. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for joining SAS earnings call of Q2 2025. CW, Leah, and myself will present all the detailed material with everyone. And also, CW and Leah will answer the FAQ, the frequently asked question we just received recently, and I will address the questions raised in the meeting today. First of all, let me share some comments of our financial results and update our operation status. In the face of accelerating energy transition and heightened geopolitical risk, we have stayed firmly committed to responsible growth, advancing our transformation and upgrading initiatives with discipline. Our vision is very clear, to be a trusted partner for a corporate energy transition, a bridge to RE100, a pathway to net zero. This is not just our slogan. It reflects our long-term strategy to integrate manufacturing and service into a dual core platform that delivers sustainable value. Recently, we optimized our organizational structure to clearly distinguish between solar components manufacturing and green energy services, building a platform-based architecture supported by strategic investments. This enables us to address growing demand for renewable energy procurement. With our manufacturing heritage, SAS understands the challenges companies face in achieving RE100 very well and their unique power needs. Through acquisitions and partnership, we are integrating power resources and unlocking assets value for developers. Coupled with our AA- credit rating, we provide the assurance that green power is both accessible and reliable, establishing a strong and trusted foundation for cooperation. Now, let me turn to semiconductors. In a rapid changing trade environment with potential tariff risk and ongoing geopolitical challenges, our global footprint and localization strategy have proven to be key advantages. Our global capacity expansion program, which was launched in 2022, is a cornerstone initiative to transform uncertainty into opportunities. These efforts are now bearing fruit. Expansion projects in Japan and Taiwan have been completed, and with shipment reaching record highs now. And our Denmark site, TopSilk, achieved its record high revenue growth since 2016. Since 2016, which is the acquisition year, in the first half of 2025, representing growth of over 400% from 2016. New fabs in Texas, Missouri, in the United States, and Italy remain on track and are expected to start contributing revenue gradually from the second half this year through the first half next year. This aligns not only with our structured demand growth driven by AI and high performance computing, but also with the global trend toward supply chain de-risking. Looking ahead, with new capacity coming online, government incentives being recognized, and end market demand gradually recovering, GlobalWafers is well positioned to create long-term value by combining local supply with technology leadership. We will continue to support customers in navigating the uncertain world tensions, and maintaining a strong global advantage. In addition, our affiliate companies are also delivering synergies across renewable energy, semiconductors, and automotive components, three core pillars where we continue to drive sustainable and long-term value creation for our shareholders. Now I will guide you through our financial highlights and operational updates. If you have our presentation material, please kindly turn to page 4. In the first half of 2025, our financial results were impacted by a strong appreciation of the NT dollar and the global expansion undertaken by our subsidiary GlobalWafers. While these factors created short-term pressure to SAS, but we view these strategic expansions and capital investments as essential steps toward building long-term competitive advantages. CW will later present a simulated financial result excluding these factors to illustrate our underlying operating performance. SAS reports consolidated revenue of nearly 40 billion NT for the first half of 2025, and marking the second highest first half performance in the company's history. Due to the appreciation of NT dollar, the final revenue for the first half of 2025 showed limited growth when translated into Taiwan dollar. However, in US dollar terms, Q2 revenue actually increased by 10% compared to the previous quarter. Gross margin for the first half of 2025 was 25.7%, and operating margin was 14.5%. Page 5, please. Let me update a little bit about our net profit and EPS. For the first half of 2025, the net profit margin stood at 8.9%, while our EPS reached 2.37 NT per share. Page 6, please. Let me update a little bit about our global status, global renewable energy industry status. Despite persistent geopolitical tensions and growing global economic uncertainties, the momentum behind the energy transition remains very strong. In 2025, clean energy investments is expected to be twice that of fossil fuels, reflecting an accelerated global shift toward low carbon emission economies. Among clean energy sectors, solar PV remains the most dynamic, with investment projected to exceed US$450 billion this year. Meanwhile, energy storage, vital for grid stability and flexible dispatch is also expanding rapidly recently, with investment expected to reach $66 billion in this year alone in 2025. Let's take a look of Taiwan's solar industry status. Taiwanese government has established a very clear roadmap for energy transition, targeting 30% renewable energy in the power mix by 2030, and aiming for net zero emission by 2050. This policy direction is closely tied not only to environmental goals, but also to national energy security. How about SAS for the solar energy? SAS has long been deeply engaged in three key sectors: semiconductors, automotive electronics, and also renewable energy. Through strategic investments and group-level resource integration, we have progressively built a diversified business portfolio with a proven ability to identify high potential companies. Our past investments are now beginning to yield synergetic results. You can find the details on page 7. Here's a quick update on our key affiliates for the first half of 2025. GlobalWafers, which is a semiconductor company, grew 3.9% YOY with a revenue of NT$31.6 billion and EPS 6.56. Extron, an automotive electronic company, grew 16.2% YOY with revenue of 4.3 billion NT and EPS 2.7 per share. AWSC, which is a mainly gallium arsenide compound foundry company, declined 32.7% YOY to NT$1.7 billion NT. EPS was 0.92 per share. TSC, specialty chemical company, grew 19.2% YOY, reaching 0.5 billion NT. And EPS is 1.49 NT per share. And Mozell Vitalik rose 30.25% YOY to 1.1 billion NT, and EPS is minus 0.2 NT per share. So that's a quick snapshot of our overall group company, the company we invested, the performance of the first half 2025. Next is let me update a little bit about SAS business overall strategy strengthening. That's on page 8. As part of our strategic deployment in the semiconductor sector, we have recently acquired a 65.22% stack in Hongjie Technology through our investment in TSC. Hongjie specializes in ultra-high purity, UHP, ultra-high purity cleaning process and refurbishment services for critical components used in advanced semiconductor manufacturing process. These services help extend the lifespan of high-value parts, reduce defect rates, and also improve overall yield. This investment built on TSC's strong foundation in specialty gases and support our dual focus strategy, bringing together gas supply and component service for semiconductor manufacturing. These synergies will further strengthen the group's competitiveness in advanced processes. To illustrate the tangible benefits of this acquisition from Hongjie Technology, we conducted a pro forma financial simulation in accordance with IFRS principles, incorporating Hongjie's technology's operating result into TSC, Taiwan Specialty Chemicals financials for 2024 and the first half of 2025. You can find more detail of the numbers on page 9. The simulation shows that TSC's standalone revenue for the first half 2025 was 0.48 billion, which increased to 1.5 billion NT on a combined basis, with a gross margin of 52.7%, net profit margin of 32.5%, and EPS of 2.43 NT per share. HomeJS's strong performance significantly contributed to this result, driving more than 2x in consolidated revenue as integration progresses. The combined entity is expected to deliver continued growth momentum for the whole group. Next is a quick update, quick overview, to share some numbers of GlobalWafers first half 2025 overall performance. Revenue of GlobalWafers 2020 in the first half of 2025, revenue reached 31.6 billion NT, 3.9% increase YOY year over year. And also this first half this year, GWC first half this year is the third highest first half result on record. Gross margin was 26.1% and operation margin stood at 15.9%. And net profit margin for the first half of 2025 was 9.9% and EPS 6.56 NT per share. As of the end of the second quarter, prepayments amounted to 27.3 billion NT, equivalent to approximately 0.93 billion US dollar. The decrease in NT dollars terms reflects significantly foreign exchange fluctuation during the period, while the decline in original terms was much less pronounced. In US dollar terms, cumulative revenue for the first half of the year reached 0.99 billion, representing a 4.2% increase compared to the same period last year. That's GlobalWafers' overall performance in the first half of 2025. And let me also update a little bit about global economic status for semiconductor industry. Global economy and economic momentum has slowed due to tightening financial conditions, policy uncertainties, and also weakening business confidence. Rising manufacturing costs continue to fuel inflation pressure, posing challenges to end market demand and certain semiconductor applications. Driven by applications such as AI, high-performance computing, robotics, and global semiconductor industry continues to demonstrate a structural growth momentum. Following a period of inventory adjustment, overall market demand is gradually recovering, led by robust growth in advanced nodes and improving sentiment in mature process technologies. GlobalWafers remain focused on two core strategies. The number one is global expansion, and the second is high value added products. Our new facilities in the United States and Italy have entered the sample delivery stage with over 80% of the U.S. capacity already secured under LTA. Underscoring the foresight and necessity of our strategic direction. And many customers are requesting us to reserve more capacity for their local demand. Overall, GlobalWafers continue to expand advanced capacity across multiple regions, and the synergies of our global manufacturing network are now materializing, generating real value for the company. The global trade environment for semiconductor products remains highly uncertain. Even up to now, it's still very uncertain. The outcome of the U.S. Section 232 investigation is still pending. And President Trump recently mentioned the possibility of a 100% tariff on chips from countries without local production or investment plans. While final rates are still under discussion, we are proactively implementing cost and tech optimization measures to preserve our competitiveness. We also have three sites in the U.S. with two expansion projects in progress and accelerated qualification underway to meet local demand. We've already received strong support from U.S. customers hoping to reserve additional capacity locally. As our announcement yesterday, Apple and GlobalWafers America, GWA, our greenfield fab in Texas, USA, just announced a new partnership to drive U.S. foundry demand for advanced silicon wafers produced at GWA. American chip fabs will use GWA's 12-inch wafers to produce chips for iPhone and iPad devices sold in the U.S. and also around the world. The new partnership and Apple's new investments in the United States will help support the purchase of GWA's advanced silicon wafers and foster the U.S. semiconductor supply chain. If U.S. demand continues to grow, we will not rule out to accelerate the next phase of expansion to reinforce local supply and build a fully vertically integrated solution. With our global presence, flexibility and resilience, GlobalWafers is well positioned to navigate policy changes and continue providing reliable, competitive solutions to our customers worldwide. So despite being in an expansion phase, GlobalWafers' interest-bearing debt declined to 67.3 billion NT as of Q2 2025, down 6.4% from the previous quarter. Meanwhile, our cash stood at 50.5 billion NT, resulting in a net debt position of only 16.8 billion NT. Although the total liability to assets ratio reached 58.9% in Q2 2025, this includes prepayments from LTA, as well as notes and accounts payable. If we exclude these items, interest-bearing debt accounts for only 32.6% of our total assets, demonstrating that our very solid financial foundation to support our ongoing capacity expansions. Last but not least, SAS and GlobalWafers announced July revenue yesterday, reflecting a decline of around 20% month over month, primarily due to timing adjustment in our shipment schedule to accommodate customers' concern and customers' effort to pull orders forward into tariff exemption windows. We prioritized deliveries towards the end of Q2. As a result, July was focused on rebuilding work in progress inventory and normalizing our production schedule. Of course, there are still a lot of uncertainties out there in the market, such as reciprocal tariff negotiation between China and USA and 232 investigation results. There are a lot of uncertainties, but this revenue decline in July just reflects our shipment timing shifts rather than any deterioration in market demand. We are still very confident that the shipment of the second half should be, GWC's shipment of second half 25 should be flat or slightly better than Q1. That's our view. So that's a quick update from my end. And next, CW will present renewable energy industry outlook and also highlight our competitive strengths and review the operational performance. And there's some key investors' concern. Thank you very much, and CW, please.
Thank you, Doris. Next, let me introduce SAS company overview. Please turn to page 16. This page shows SAS group structure. SAS is the leader of the group, acts as a strategic enabler to enhance group synergies with the functions including in right-hand side description. First one, to coordinate the group's operating objectives, lead related enterprise to grow, explore new business opportunities, and expand the corporate territory. Second, rectify the organizational structure and improve the professional production and the operation of each business group. Strive for growth momentum and explore potential new force merger into the group enterprise. Number three, investment, joint venture, overseas enterprise. Give full play to the company's unique enterprise. Lay out and open up new market areas and extend the tentacles to rapidly growing countries. Number four, utilize global wafers marketing network of 18 bases in 9 countries around the world and local resources in various countries to drive the group enterprise to go out Taiwan. Product internationalization. Number five, make good use of the renewable energy resources and the expertise of SAS to promote the energy transition of related enterprise and comprehensively improve renewable energy. The proportion of bioenergy use reduce carbon emissions and move towards the 2040 RE100 goal. Number six, coordinate the technical exchange of professional personnel between the group enterprise. Improve product specifications and applications, and open up new market business opportunities. On the left-hand side, SAS has 3 major consolidated groups. First one is the renewable energy business, including Annual Energy, SES, Sun, SUN, and SGE. Second is semiconductor business, including Global Wafers, AWSC, TSC and HJT. Also, we have automotive companies business supported by Extron. I will explain each company's product in next slide. Page 17. On this page, you can see semiconductor business share major portion of overall business. Global Wafers are third largest and the largest non-Japanese wafer manufacturer global. Operates 18 sites across 9 countries. With the most comprehensive product portfolio in the wafer industry, unparalleled flexibility and advantage of local supply. Global Wafers is customers' preferred partner in mitigating the challenge of geopolitical and tariff issues in today's world. AWSC is the second largest Ghana semiconductor foundry company with more than 20% market share. Its power amplifiers are widely applied in satellite and cell phones. TSC is one of the only 4 semiconductor-grade high-purity dioxide mass producers in the world. A specialty chemical used in semiconductor manufacturing processes. Following verification among customers in Taiwan and overseas, the business is expected to grow further. SJT, Hongjie Technology is a newly joined group company, 65.22% owned by SAS indirectly. SJT main business are advanced equipment cleaning and inspection. Some customers are overlapped with TSC. Mosel is located in Hsinchu Science Park. Nearly 30% equity owned by Extron, provides high efficiency power devices. In automotive field, Extron is the leading automotive electronics supplier and the global largest automotive low loss die and ultra low loss die supplier with over 50% and 70% market share respectively. As for renewable energy business, SAS spun off two business units, SGE, providing renewable energy sales and service. SUN will focus on renewable energy production. Under SGE company, we have SES, who is the best partner to provide renewable solutions to group companies and end customer it serves. It partners with companies in the green energy transition and the ESG as trend by assisting the renewable solutions. And we also have Neo Energy is the best partner for Type 3 size companies. SAS empowering respective group companies to elevate their strategic vision and enhance their growth momentum. We also embrace more promising companies to enlarge our ecosystem. And we are passionate in unveiling the hidden champions. Next page, moving to group revenue breakdown. We are dedicated investing in two companies with a competitive position and a compatibility with our core strengths. SAS investments have become a growing catalyst, building on the solid presence of global wafers. With more of affiliates joining the SAS group, we have diversified our business scope, established an increasing balance and a diversified business portfolio. With further consolidation of group companies into SAS financial statements, including TSC in 2021, AWSC 2022, and Extron 2023. Their revenue share has grown from 0.2% in 2021 to 16% in first half 2025. The growth of these affiliates is expected to drive continued future growth, not only but also bring sustainable growth to the SAS group as a whole. Page 19. This page indicates key companies' contribution to SAS in first half 2025. GWC still played a major portion in revenue, NT$31.6 billion, 79% contribution with a 13% increase YOY. Net income, NT$3.1 billion, which is an 87% contribution with an 11% decline YOY. For other three companies contribute 16% share of revenue NT$6.5 billion with a 0.4% current YOY and 8% share of net income NT$0.7 billion with a 1.5% increase YOY. On page 20 to 21, these two pages show the success of our investment strategy. Continues to be demonstrated by the impressive result of our key group companies. In Q2 2025, the revenue of this investment business witnessed robust growth ranging from 2% to 26% QOQ. Extron and TSC performed record high. On page 21, EPS also showing big improvement. From 13% to 19% QOQ growth. Only Airdrop showed a negative growth in Q2 due to foreign exchange loss. We expect the growth momentum to continue in second half this year. Page 22. After reorganized renewable energy department, currently we have two business units. On the left-hand side, SGE focused on renewable energy, sales and service. On the right-hand side, SUN is mainly for production business. SUN focus on improving manufacturing efficiency and increase the opportunities for strategic external partnerships. SUN's high-efficiency cell products have successfully qualified by overseas customers recently and poised to ramp up. SGE as a renewable energy sales and service total solution provider. We vertically integrate its business, including O&M EPC service by SPW, sales and service by SES and ANIL, storage management by Xuqi, escort service by Xuxiang, to provide multiple services for customers. To explain more detail in the next slide, on page 23, I would like to explain more about SES and ANIL companies. These two companies are providing client-centric renewable energy service with a diversified energy mix and one-stop grid power solution to help customers advance the energy transition and reach RE100 goals. Up to June 2025, SES and ANIL rank at the top of the list in the, in the solar renewable energy certificates volume, with exceed 16 billion kWh signed renewable energy contract order, highlighting their reliable supply capacity and the strong market credibility. Please refer their post plans and performance record in the label, in the table. On the left-hand side, they are providing wind, solar, and hydropower with multi-source integration. 24 hours, 7 days supplier, enabling customers to meet sustainability with biomass and the green RECs, renewable, dispatching and reasonable business alliance certified. On the right hand side, highlight their performance, such as signed contract order with exceed 16 billion kWh, a new renewable energy supply with more than 500 million kWh, obtained more than 80,000 renewable energy certificates, built more than 900 renewable power plants, and installed 500 megawatt solar capacity. Based on this, on the record, I trust their performance is ranking at the top in this industry. Next page, page 24. This slide to explain the background of SES to build joint venture in India. India is a big solar market plan to achieve 280 gigawatt accumulated solar capacity by 2030, requiring 30 gigawatt per year. The CAGR from 2024 to 2030 indicates nearly 20% high. SES and the premier energy will invest in the new entry with 2 gigawatt per year. It will slice polysilicon ingot into silicon wafer for use in the production of photovoltaic cells and the modules. With the investment, SES can have more resilience in the face of global trade policy change. Not limited in the India domestic market, we can supply outside India, as well as the overseas market demand under geopolitical issue. Deepen the group deployment in the renewable energy industry trade and enhance operational resilience and long-term business growth in global trade. Next page, page 25, show the calculation of global companies' market cap as of August 4, closing stock market stock price. Obviously, SES stock price indicates 31% discount value, provide a very good opportunity to invest. Given time is limited, I'll jump to financial status. Please turn to page 33. Page 33 and 34 are our first half 2025 financial highlights. As stories mentioned earlier, our Q2 revenue was NT$20.2 billion, which represented a 4.4% increase QOQ and 1.7% increase YOY. In case of using US dollar currency, Q2 data showed 11.5% increase QOQ. Our EPS was NT$1.17 per share for Q2 and NT$2.33 per share for first half 2025. EBITDA margin was at 25.2% and 24.4%. ROE was 6.2% and 6.3%. ROA was at 2.6% and 2.9% for Q2 and the first half respectively. From page 35 to 39 are the summary trend of revenue, gross profit, operating income, and net profit, EPS. Page 40 and 41 are income statement balance sheet. Income statement table, if you check the right-hand side of the table, if exclude the expansion costs and Siltronic stock mark-to-market stock value change, you can find simulated number of gross margin will become 30.8%. EBITDA margin becomes 35.08%, operating profit 21.212%, net profit 15.72%. EPS will be $3.88 per share in first half 2025. Let's jump to Global Wafers financial result on page 48 to 49. I will explain on page 48 in income statement table. I said, if exclude the expansion cost and the Siltronic stock mark-to-market stock value change, you can find Global Wafers simulated number. Gross margin will become 32.5. EBITDA margin 37.2. Operating profit 22.9. Net profit 17%. EPS will be NT$10.91 per share in first half. Next, let's move to Q&A section. First, I would like to address also some questions we have received from investors recently, and those we anticipated will be raised. Okay, first question. First question has come from Jiawei. As I mentioned, I asked about the impact of a recent tariff adjustment on the solar business in the second half of the year, including visibility of order tech in the overall industrial outlook. Second is given Warp Speed Chapter 11 filing in the US and the bankruptcy of Japan Power, as I said, JS Foundry. What is a company's view on the outlook of the silicon carbide and gallium nitride, as well as the current progress of its deployment in these areas? The reply is, according to the OBBB, to implement the policy of giving priority to the United States and strengthen the market opportunities of American brands for a long time. American brand customer of SS solar product actively grasp this development. At the same time, shipment of SS to the United States will increase. The U.S. reciprocal tariff on the import of goods is declared at 20%. According to the terms of the transaction with the customer, the tariff is borne by the buyer. And so far, no request from the customer to cancel or delay the order. Number two, due to the lack of recovery in the overall automotive industry demand, the sales of EV car have not grown as expected, and China's overcapacity. Some companies are not operating well, especially silicon carbide products. Our company's strategy is focused on large size product development. That is with a goal of low-cost production of 8-inch to cope with the future market trends and market condition of gallium nitride products are relatively good. And they are currently in full production, plan to make further expansion about 30% in the end of this year. Next question is asked about how we TSC work with SJT, what kind of benefit? As explained by Doris, this merger and acquisition have high strategic significance. SJT's service and the TSC product are highly complementary, and some customers are overlapped. After the completion of this project, it will help TSC enrich its overall products and services, become an integrated service provider through the dual engine layout of specialty gas products and the equipment related service, which can respond to more diverse service needs of customers and support the continuous growth and closer cooperation with customers. DSE and HJT are professional manufacturers in their respective fields, and this merger into HJT is a parallel integration, and the customers on the two sides overlap partially through the complementary products and services, the types of product and the service are increased. The relationship with customers is deepened by providing more complete service and increased SAS group operating income, profit, and EPS. For some questions, we have a reply in the presentation. So next, I will move to Doris for next section, Q&A.
Okay, yes, this is Doris again. Let me add three questions, just received the questions from some analysts and shareholders regarding to Apple. So I just received a question this morning. So let me answer these three questions first. Number one is that, please describe the new Apple GlobalWafers American partnership. Here is our reply. Under our new partnership, Apple and GWA will pursue initiatives to build demand for GWA's advanced 300 millimeter wafers. We expect the initiatives to include collaborations and coordination with our customers and Apple's suppliers. These initiatives will build on investments Apple is making throughout the supply chain, including the new TI investment they just announced yesterday. And the second question is that how do you expect the Apple partnership to benefit GWA and how does Apple benefit? As expected, the new partnership will help us better understand our customers' objectives and requirements as we engage in expanded strategic discussions in the context of Apple's requirements. Ultimately, it will help us expand our customer base and better serve our customers and Apple's needs. We anticipate that the partnership will also help build new certainty into domestic market demand, enabling us to better prepare for future production. It will help the collective supply chain, wafer producer, GWA, chip manufacturers and our end customers, Apple, much better coordinate and plan for future growth. That's the benefits for both parties. And the third question is that have GWA already signed a formal agreement with Apple yet? We are excited about this new partnership to secure demand for GWA production. We look forward to expanding our work with Apple as we provide the company and its chip suppliers the highest qualities, highest quality advanced wafers. So that's our plan. And up to this moment, we haven't finalized any agreement yet. So that's a quick answer for these three questions. And next, I'm going to hand that to Leah to answer some questions.
Okay, thank you. This is the Apple spokesperson of GlobalWafers. I have also received quite a lot of questions regarding the cooperation partnership with Apple. Okay, the first one is the most common one. Will the partnership lead to changes in our capital expenditure plan or accelerate our expansion efforts? Our answer is that our expansion planning is always guided by customer demand. At present, over 80% of capacity at our U.S. site has been secured under long-term agreements. And we have received strong interest from several customers seeking deeper collaboration and additional U.S. capacity. This reflects the rising need for localized supply. We remain open to accelerating the next phase expansion to meet future demand and respond to changes in market and geopolitical conditions on the precondition that the phase one's profitability and the strong customer support. And the next question is that is a partnership with major customer limited to 12 inch wafers? Because Apple is more than just a smartphone company, it is one of the world's most innovative enterprises, continuously launching many exciting new products. So we greatly look forward to the possibility of expanding our collaboration and supply across a broader range of production lines. GlobalWafers operates manufacturing facilities in multiple countries, and we offer a product portfolio that covers various wafer sizes and application areas. Beyond the standard silicon wafers, we also have a lot of specialty wafers such as compound semiconductor, SOI, and FZ wafers. So we hope that we have the chance that the partnership may extend beyond 12-inch wafers to include a wider range of specs and applications. At the same time, we sincerely hope that GlobalWafers America could not only serve the U.S. needs, but also explore the opportunities and the collaborations with overseas customers so we can supply globally. And next question is the tariff. If the U.S. imposes a 100% tariff on imported semiconductors, will GlobalWafers be affected? The tariff situation remains uncertain as the U.S. Section 232 investigation is still ongoing. And up to now, there is no final decision announced. But GlobalWafers, we have very unique and core strengths that position us well to navigate the uncertainty. One is our operational efficiency. Given the current uncertainties, GlobalWafers is proactively strengthening our operational resilience and cost structure and technological innovation to mitigate the potential impacts. Our strong operational capabilities are already demonstrated by our past acquisitions. We turned the entities profitable within just 4 and 9 months. This showcased our ability to swiftly integrate and optimize new business, even in very challenging environment. The second unique strength that GlobalWafers has is our global manufacturing footprint. Our production network spans Taiwan, Japan, South Korea, Europe, and notably the US. So it provides us with the flexibility to adjust production in response to evolving trade policies. Years ago, we initiated multi-site customer qualifications, enabling us to shipments flexibly based on the most favorable tariff rates and foreign exchange conditions. The capability allows us to effectively manage risk and maintain supply stability despite uncertain trade dynamics. Also in the US, we currently operate 3 manufacturing sites with 2 undergoing expansions. We are accelerating customer qualifications, and we are ramping up our efforts to ensure that robust local supply capabilities, which are critical in the current trade environment. We remain fully committed to our U.S. investments, including the flagship plant in Texas, which is the only 12-inch advanced wafer facility in the United States, and the sole 12-inch SOI production site in Missouri. We also remain open to the possibility of additional investment. On August 6, President Trump confirmed that the companies manufacturing in the U.S. will be exempted from tariffs. The statement underscores the strategic importance of our ongoing U.S. expansion. So the next is about the subsidy. Has GlobalWafers America received subsidy from the CHIPS Act? If yes, what is the amount? The answer is yes. GWA already received its first milestone disbursement of US$200 million from the CHIPS Act in June, representing roughly 50% of the total grant. In addition, we also received subsidies from different countries. As of the first half of 2025, GlobalWafers has received about NT$6.3 billion in direct subsidies supporting our expansion projects. Looking ahead, we expect to receive additional government support, including the IPCEI grant from the Italian expansion and the EMIC tax credit, which is currently 25% and will increase to 35% for the expenditures put in service in 2026. Okay, the above is my answer to the questions that I received so far.
Okay. Okay, so thank you. That's the questions we have already received in the past 2 days. Next is the question we just received today. Let me answer let me answer some of them. Okay, the first question from Erica, what is the current progress on incentives from the U.S. fab expansion of the subsidies GlobalWafers? I think we just answered, we have, in the U.S. we have received slightly over $200 million U.S. dollar in total. Okay, that's the first question. The second is that is the incremental demand from Apple already factored into GlobalWafers' initial ramp up in Texas in second half 25 or first half 26, as well as a commentary regarding GlobalWafers second half revenue outlook of Tuesday. A quick answer for this is no, it's not factored into our initial ramp up in Texas in the second half, first half. But I don't really think that will immediately give a lot of, demand upside in the second half 25, because we will need some qualification for Apple's new applications, new demands. So yes, so it's not factored into our initial ramp up plan yet, but it will not be a big upside for our second half. We'll aggressively prepare samples for qualification and discussion with customers, new customers, and to prepare all the samples and qualification process. Okay, next is that SAS dividend policy. SAS dividend policy remain unchanged, like always, what we always do. According to our company policy, it's always 50% of the earnings of that specific year, deduct all the by law we have to have made some reserves, so that part of course have to be deducted. So no change, same as the previous years. And next is that with the weakening support from IRA Act, is the U.S. market still attractive and capable for sustaining business for SAS? That is a very good question. With weakening support from IRA, the IRR, the return, the investment return from solar project in the U.S. is maybe will be a little bit more challenging. So we are still studying all the details now. No firm decision made yet, but basically it will be more conservative for the direct investment in a solar power, solar cell, solar module production line in the U.S. This is not our first priority for now. Let me answer the two more questions. Regarding that's from Rebecca. Regarding Taiwan government's plan of carbon reduction path and renewable energy goal, do you think that this is an achievable goal? That's a very important question, but it's a challenging question. Taiwan government is very serious for this carbon reduction and overall RE100 goal. Government make it a very clear plan up to 2050. So it's very clear that by 2050, Taiwan will be a RE100. That's the goal, a net zero company. That's the goal for, but it's very challenging, especially in Taiwan. So no matter if Taiwan can make it, no matter what, I think all the Taiwanese solar companies are working very hard to try to make it happen. And that is why you see from our presentation today, you see that we make a lot of organizational restructuring our org chart and try to make make SAS more prepared for the growth of the power or energy transition period of Taiwan. I think the next 30 years is very important for Taiwan's energy transition from the past high CO2 emission energy to a low carbon emission type, and a lot of infrastructure and a lot of new business model will be needed for that, and SAS is ready to be the bridge for the industry to RE100. Next is from I'd like to ask, given your company's significant progress and milestone in manufacturing in the U.S., to share your thoughts on how other Taiwanese tech and semiconductor industry can learn from this, and what advice do you have for challenging manufacturing in the U.S. I think we are still learning, although we have been in the U.S. starting from 1999 from Texas, but investing and running an operation in the U.S. is still very challenging. But U.S. is a very important market. What's very important now is that not only the market size is attractive, but also U.S. government is strongly support. So now maybe it's a good timing for the tech company to work in the U.S. But it's very important that you work with your supply chain to get an upstream and downstream work together. That would be very helpful for us to overcome all the startup challenges. It's not easy. It's a new country with a lot of new policies, but it's definitely a very good market. I think that's all that's the time we have to answer the question today. Thank you very much for everyone's time. And if you need to know a little bit more details, please feel free to email to CW, and we'll try our best to answer your question by email or by call. Thank you again, and have a great weekend, and also have a very happy Father's Day today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.